Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying every couple of years, he would say over the issue as to when Tainus Esther was instituted. Some mefarshim on the Megillah, towards the end of the Megillah, it says that Kima v'kibla aleim balzaram, the Jewish community accepted upon themselves and upon their descendants to observe the days of Purim kashi kibla aleim imei hadibri hatzoymus v'zakosam. What does that mean? So some mefarshim learn that it's talking about Tainus Esther, that they accepted upon themselves to fast Tainus Esther. The Tainus Esther was there from day number one. All along the whole, the Nes Purim was before the Binyan Bayis Sheni, in the middle of the Golus Bavel, towards the end of the Golus Bavel. And from day number one, they always had a Tainus Esther. And others disagree. They said, what are you talking about? Tainus Esther was instituted after the Churban HaBayis. How can you have a Tainus Esther on Erev Purim? Purim and Chanukah are part of the Megillas Tainus, and you have another 30 Yamim Tovim there. And the Gemara says, "Divrei Yisoyfrim Tzvich Mechizuk." So if you'll allow people to fast on Erev Purim, on Erev Chanukah, next thing you know, that they'll fast even on Chanukah and Purim itself. So you have to ask it lefneim ulachreim. Sometimes hold the day before, the day after. Sometimes hold only lefneim and not lachreim. Shabbos and Yom Tov, Divrei Torah, the Gemara says, "Ein Tzvich Mechizuk." So you don't have to ask fasting on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontov. Divrei Torah people are not going to fast on Shabbos and Yontov. But Divrei Seifrim, the Megillah Stein is only with the Rabban, and Divrei Seifrim, Tzvich and Chizuk, Yosef Mishal Torah. So therefore you have to ask the name. So the Mishalim asks, how are you allowed to fast Tainus Esther the day before Purim? So Bizman is that's not such a kasha, because the whole Megillah Tainus was bought after the Churban HaBayis. There was a machloikis, we spoke about it the other day. And when the psak, final psak was Batla Megillas Tainus, all the Yom Tovim no longer apply, with the exception of Chanukah Purim. So there's a machlokes, the Sheet Mekubetzes quotes a machlokes, Sheet Mekubetzes and Menachas quotes a machlokes of the Bali HaTosfos. When they say Chanukah and Purim were not Batla, it was only Chanukah and Purim. What about Lifneim? What about Erev Chanukah and Erev Purim? So the psak HaMekubetzes and Shulchan Aruch is that everything was Batla except for Chanukah and Purim itself, Lifneim. Well, Achreim of Chanukah and Purim, the same as the rest of Megillas Tainus, it was all bottle. So once you say it like that, after the Churban HaBayis, after it's been established that the whole Megillas Tainus is bottle, so then you can have a Tainus Esther on the Erev Purim. But they really have it, Bizman HaBayis, that the whole Megillas Tainus was betokvoy, and you're not allowed to fast lifnei Achreim, that they have Tainus Esther. How can it be? They couldn't have had. And others, and Eshkol, Eshkol is a sefer written. The Shach writes in the Yerida in one place that sometimes the Rishonim will quote two opposite things in the name of the Ravid. How can it be? So the Shach says the secret is that the two people are known as the Ravid. One was the father-in-law of the other one. The one who wrote the Eshkol is the Ravid, the Rabbein Avram Av Bezn of Narbona, and his daughter married the Ravid Balasagas Rabbein Avram Ben David. There was a third Rabbin who wrote a history book, but the Rishonim never quote anything from him. Okay. His history book is all Baba Mises, they say, so you can't rely on anything. But the two Rabbins were both Rishonim. So the Rabbin Balo Eshkol talks about this Kash. Balamor talks about the Kash. Balamor on the bottom of the riff in Megillah. How can you have Tainus Esther? So he also, the Balamor and the Rabbin learned Bechavrus. So the Rabbin Balo Eshkol writes, the Teretz is, you're not allowed to have a Tainus Shel Avelus. A person has Yartzeit, and he fasts on his Yartzeit. So that you're not allowed to have on Erev, when Megillas Tainus was betokvoy. You can't fast a Yartzeit on Erev Chanukah and Erev Purim. But to fast the Tainus Shel Simcha, that's okay. And he says that the Tainus of Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shel Simcha. It's not a Tainus Shel Avelus. The Rambam says, the Rambam and the Rabbein and Tam both talk about Tainus Esther. So they say it's zecher to the Tanesim that they had. Which Tanesim? So that's a little unclear. So the Rabbein and Tam, on the Rishonim quote the Rabbein and Tam on the first half of Megillah, Zman Kiila Lakolhi. The Gemara says that Yom Yud Gimel Ador Zman Kiila Lakol. So Rabbein and Tam learns that that's Tainus Esther. And it's zechet to the Tainus that the Jewish people fasted on Yud Gimel when they were waging war against the enemy. It's zechet to that Tainus. The Rambam writes that we fast Tainus Esther zechet to the Tanesim during the days of Haman. Haman wasn't alive when they were waging the war. Haman was killed on Pesach a year before, a long time before, 11 months before. So from the Rav Soloveitchik, it's in Sefer, and the Rambam would appear that he doesn't hold like the Rabbein Tam, that it's zechet to the Tonis, that they were fasting when they were waging war. Zechet to Suma Alay Shloshes Yomim, Al Tochlu Bal Tishlu. It's zechet to the three Tanesim that they fasted on Pesach. On 2 days before Pesach and on Pesach they fasted. Ashaloi Kados, Keneged Adin. You're not allowed to fast on Pesach. So they fasted on Pesach because it was a big Shas HaSakonim. So that's a detailed question. Zechet to which Tanesim? But it's, so the Eshkol writes, it's a Taina Shel Simcha, because they fasted and everything worked out well. So it's a Taina Shel Simcha, the Taina of, I'm sorry, Betevusam Gedali Shevasa Betam, that's a Taina Shel Avelus. There should be, should Chaparav Kemina, where the Ketanim have to fast. The Mishnah Brura quotes from the Achronim, many people have the Yekas in the neighborhood, and a lot of people have such a practice, that the last three Tanesim, before you become Bar Mitzvah, you have to fast. Before that, you don't have to fast. So the Mishnah Berurah says that that's not correct. That the children before Bar Mitzvah do not fast. That Yom Kippur, they have to fast. That's a Mishnah. If the child is healthy, in America, the children are over-healthy. They're overweight. They have enough stored up energy. Unless the child is sickly. But if the child is healthy, he's supposed to fast 2 years before Bar Mitzvah, all day long. 2 years before, 2 years before, supposed to fast a half a day for Yom Kippur. And the other Tanais in Tisha B'Av, even if he's going to be Bar Mitzvah tomorrow, he doesn't have to fast. Why not? There's no chinuch on Tanais except for Yom Kippur. Why not? So many assume that it's, Rav Moshe quotes this from the Shagas Aryeh. I'm not sure where the Shagas Aryeh is, but he quotes Shagas Aryeh. He said, Moshe has a different reason. He doesn't like this reason. But he quotes the Shagas Aryeh, what I thought was the simple reason, that there's no chinuch on avelus. There's a machlekes in Moed Katan, in Eila Megalchen. When a child is a gil l'chinuch and a relative dies, are you machanachem that he should... The Gemara says that there's chinuch on rip in Kriya. There's chinuch on rip in Kriya. But Kriya is not the same as Avelis. You rip Kriya even on Chalamite. You don't observe Avelis on Chalamite. Gemara says Kriya Luchud, Avelis Luchud. They're two different things. So that's clear in the Gemara. There is Chinuch on ripping Kriya. And the Gemara says when, let's say, a little baby, a person has a little baby and the father dies or the mother dies. So the child is Lohigir Lachinuch. The child doesn't even realize, he doesn't even understand that a parent died. Even if you tell him, he doesn't understand what it means. He doesn't know what death means. So that's a din in the Gemara. Mekarin lekotim epnei agmas nefesh. You rip kriya on a little infant, even though it's absolutely lo higir lechinuch. The child is a mesasik. He doesn't even understand what you're doing, that you're ripping his brother. If he's an infant, that's epnei agmas nefesh. To bring out that the menachemim should realize what a tragedy it is that a person died and he left such little assignment that they don't even understand what's happening. So that's a din even lohigir l'chinuch. That's a din mekaren l'katmim pnei agmas nefesh, but it doesn't have to be with all the dinim of kriya. You don't have to rip a tefach, just you rip a little bit. But if the katn is higir l'chinuch, then you have to be mechanach the child on ripping kriya. Well, what about is the chinuch and avela? So that's a machloikis in the days of the goinim. And the psak ha-mekuban l'shulchan aruch is that there's no chinuch and avelas. They discuss different reasons why. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. He discussed different. So some say, chinuch is so that next year he should know how to shake lulav correctly. We make him shake lulav now, but they tell him his father died. He should observe avelus. His father's never going to die again. Once, that's it. His brother died. The brother's not going to die again. Gishtarben and gishtarben. So Rav Moshe thinks that that's a joke. He doesn't like that reason. They give other reasons, whatever. But we pass on halacha that there's no chinuch on avelus. That's what the Dogel Mevava writes on the side of the Eridea. If a young child lost a relative and he wants to go to yeshiva, or he's not opposed to going to yeshiva, so he said, if it's a boy, so send him to the yeshiva. Should go and learn. There's no chinuch on avelus. If he realizes what it means, his father died, he wants to cry. So let him sit. Let him volunteer. Let him sit shiva and cry. Let him not go to yeshiva. But if he's not opposed, so let him go to the yeshiva and learn today. We pass him, there's no chinuch on avelus. So that's what Rav Moshe quotes from the Shagas Aryeh. There's no chinuch on fasting, Tisha B'Av, Asar, Betavis, etc. because the fasting is a nihug avadelus and there's no chinuch avadelus. If you put two and two together, if you say like that, then the ketanim should fast on Tainas Esther, because Tainas Esther is a Tainas Shal Simcha. It's not a Tainas Shal Avelus. It's a different kind of a Tainas. So that's the question, when was the takana made? So Rav Soloveitchik used to, every couple of years he would talk about this. So you point out, there's a little sefer called Toldos Adam. It's sort of a biography of Rav Zelma Levaloziner. That was the younger brother of Rav Chaim Valoziner. And they write that whenever the Vilna Gaon didn't remember the Loshana Gemara word for word, so Rav Zelma Levaloziner, he would ask Rav Zelma, what's the Loshana Gemara? He would say, he had a better photographic memory than the Vilna Gaon. It's hard to imagine what that means. So they have the Sefer told the Sodom is quoted every so often in the Pischi Tshuva. And Yoridei, Ebenezer, but the Sefer told the Sodom has a little bit of biography and that has different Divrei Torah that he said on different occasions. Ehoran Nisrama, Mehoran Gemara. So he has Ehoran Rama. He thinks that there's a misprint in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Tainis lists off all the Tanesim that are mentioned in Zechariah. Tzom Raviv, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom Raviv is Shavasa B'tam, Tzom HaChamishi is Tisha B'Av, Tzom HaShviv, Tzom HaAsiri. So he lists them off, and then the next halacha he says, V'nogu Kol Yisrael, V'nogu Kol Yisrael, V'zman Hazeh, V'at Aloshna Rambam, Lehisanais, U'v'yud Gimel Ba'ador. Very strange Lashon. It's very megumgum. So Rav Zelma Levaloziner thought that the Ubi Yud Gimel Ba'ador, the Vav, is a mistake. He thought that it should say Nogu Kol Yisrael Bizman Hazeh L'Sanes B'Yud Gimel Ba'ador. He doesn't mean Nogu Kol Yisrael to fast on Shivasa B'Tamas Sam Gedalia. That's not Nogu. That's a Pasuk in the Navi. Others say no, the Bizman Hazeh, the Gemara says Ratz Misanim, Ratzei Misanim, but the Bahag says Kvashi Avyu Alay Chayvam. So we assume that Bizman Hazeh, fasting on Asar B'Tev Sam Gedalia, is only a minik. That's why it's more kal than a real Din de Rabbanan. That's a shayla. Let's say today, a person forgot and he takes a cup of tea and he says Shakon Diya B'Dvara. Then before he takes a sip, he realizes that it's a tannis today. So what does he do? So if he drinks it, he violates the tannis. If he doesn't drink it, he violates bracha levatola. So that's called the dilemma. Dilemma in English means whatever you're going to do is no good. All the alternatives are no good. What do you do when you're faced with a dilemma? So the Gemara has the klal in Erev and Davkuf. There's a whole suya. So it says there the klal is you have to be bocher. That's how we sum it up. You have to be bocher b'miut hara. You have to choose the lesser of the two evils. So the question is, which is the lesser of the two evils? So sometimes, not always, sometimes the lesser of the two evils is Shevi Al Taseh. Bracha Levatola, you already said the bracha. So the question, what should you do now? So if you'll drink the tea, then you'll be in violation of the Isser of eating on the Tarnas Bekum B'Yaseh. If you don't drink the tea, did you violate the Isser bracha at the time you said the bracha? You thought you were going to drink the tea, so you didn't really violate the Isser then. So now you're violating the Isser b'sheva al tasa by not drinking the tea. So sometimes the Gemara says b'bracha b'meil tara. Sometimes me sheva al tasa odit, and that's sugya and erev and dafku. But it's not always the determining factor. So sometimes you can tell. One is a din d'oraisa and one is a din d'rabbanan. So the din d'rabbanan is the kal. One is a din d'rabbanan and one is a minik. Let's say fasting on Tainas Esther. That's a minik. And saying a bracha ashen, a bracha levatola, that's a real din d'rabbanan. Say a bracha levatola is a real din d'rabbanan. So that's what there was a big rabbi in Europe known as Rabbi Yossel of Slutsker. His name was Paimer, Rabbi Yossel of Paimer. He was a rabbi in Slutsk. He was on the board of Valozhin. He was a musmach of Valozhin, and the board of Valozhin consisted of alumni, rabbinic alumni, who were prominent rabbanim. Big Talmid Chacham said when they had the big Din Torah in Valozhin, they had a Din Torah whether Rav Chaim Soloveitchik is right to say a Shia. So they the board came and they said, let him say shir and we'll decide whether he's right to say shir. So they had big Talmid HaChacham. So he was on the board. He was involved in the Din Torah. And then when they had the Din Torah between the Ritziv and the Beis HaLevi, the Talmidim had. The two of them didn't have any Din Torah. Talmidim had a Din Torah. Who should be the Rosh Yeshiva? Whether the Beis HaLevi should be the Rosh Yeshiva or the Ritziv should be the Rosh Yeshiva. So he was on the board. He had to get involved in it. So Rabbi Yosef Lutzke has a tshuva about this. The person said a bracha on the tannis, or let's say he's fleishik, and he says a bracha on a cup of milk, and he realizes that he didn't wait 6 hours. So what should he do? Should he take a sip of milk that it shouldn't be a bracha levatola, or do you say that that aver is bigger? So he goes in each case, which is the lesser of the two evils? That's how you have to determine. He says to eat on tannis ester is only a minig. Said bracha levatola is a real din de rabbanan. So he thinks that it's better to eat a tiny little bit, take a little sip, so it shouldn't be a bracha levatola, rather than not to have anything. So that's a question Rab Zamel of Alojana has. It's a question how to read the Rambam. When the Rambam lists off all the various days when you fast, he writes a Lashon. I gotta look where it is already. It's in Hilchos Tainius.
Is it all Tainius today, or just Tainius Esther?
What?
All Tainius today are minog, or just Tainius Esther?
Tainius Esther is a lower minig. The other Tainesim was sometimes from Divrei Kabbalah and Bizmanazetz, Ratzim Masanim, Ratzim Masanim, just the Bahag says, Kvashavu alai uchayva. The minig is that we do fast. So today it's only a minig. If you live at a period where there's open anti-Semitism and they're attacking the Jews, Shas Gzeres HaMalchus, then it's Medina. Then you have to fast on the other Tanesim, not on Tanesim. You have to fast on the other Tanesim, Laila Vayom, 24 hours, and you have to observe all the Chamisha Inuim. That's how the Ramban explains in the Torah Sodom. The fact that today we only observe the Yisra Achidu Shti on Shivasa B'Tamuz and Tzom Gedal and so on, and we only fast by Yom Napalayda, that's because Bizman Azeh is totally Beratzu, Ratzim Asanim, Ratzim Asanim, Kvashi Avyu Alay Chayfa. But when it's really Medina, if you live, let's say, during the Shoah, so many of the Rabbanim in Europe held there at the First World War, many held also as Medina. There was a war going on, even though it wasn't really anti-Semitic, it wasn't against the Jews. But many held that fasting during the First World War was Medina, Medivri Kabbalah. So whenever it's Medivri Kabbalah, then you have to observe, the Ramban says, then you have to observe Leilu Kiyomo, and you have to observe all the Hamisha. Yeah. Here the Rambam's in Perikain Hilchas Tainiyos, Alacha Hei, V'nogu Kol Yisrael Bizmanim Eilu Lehisanos. In all cases, bizmanim elu refers back to halacha dalit some gedalia sor betavis. That's what you call bizmanim elu. Nogu kolisol bizmanim el. Why doesn't he say nogu kolisol lisanas bizmanim elu? He writes it backwards. Nogu kolisol bizmanim elu lisanas. Period. They have a period printed. Ubiud gimel ba'ador also zecha the tainu sheisana bimei homon shenema dibat zaymus v'zakosam. So the way it's printed here, the way it's printed in the Rambam, he says Nogu Kol Yisrael Bizmanim Eilu Lehisanes to fast on Shavasa B'Tamas and some Gedali because Kvashi Aviyu Alay Choy. But he's alluding to what the Bahag said, and then there's a period printed in the edition, and it says Ubi Yigimel Bador. The sentence is very poorly constructed if you read like that. So that's what they quote in the Toldos Sodom. So they actually didn't quote the other. There are a lot of other Toldos Sodoms, other things that the Pizchei Tshuva quotes. He only has to quote this one. This is the only one he quoted. That the Vav Ubi Gimel Bador is a mistake. And they have now in the Frankel edition of the Rambam, they quote that many, all the manuscripts they have like that, that it doesn't have the Vav. So the Rambam isn't saying that fasting on Asar B'Tavis is Nagu. No. It should read Nogu Kol Yisrael Bizmanim Eilu means Bizman Hazeh. The minig is Lisanis Biyud Gimel Ba'ador. The minig was introduced in the days of the Goyinim. It didn't exist in the days of the Ba'i Sheni. But other Rishonim hold not so. According to the other Girsa, Ubi Yud Gimel Ba'ador, so many assume that the Rambam is quoting the Pasuk. They bat Tzomis Mizak Osam, that they introduced the Tainus Esther when they introduced the whole Yantava Purim. From day number one, there was Tainus Esther. That's an issue. There's going to be a bris in the Beis Medrash later today. So the Bala Bris didn't ask me, but someone else called me up this morning. I attended a wedding on Sunday night. The girl's father called me up. He wants to know whether the children have to fast today. So I said they don't have to. Chacham Avadya has a tshuva like that, and I thought he was right for a different reason. The din is, let's say, if you have a tannis falls out on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. Never falls out on Yom Tov, on Shabbos sometimes it does. So if you have a tannis that falls out, let's say, Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, so you fast. That's a din deris. But if any other tannis, Tisha B'Av is heard, but any other tannis falls out on Shabbos, so you don't fast. So what do you do? So if it's a tainus shel avelus, so you doich it to Sunday. Why don't you fast on Thursday? Agnumi parnusa loy magdaminon. The Gemara says in Megillah, it does make sense to observe avelus earlier. Tainus Esther, you are magdim. Why? Because it's not avelus; it's a tainus shel simcha. It's not a tainus shel avelus. That's what we assume, like that, like the Sefer Heshkol. The fundamental difference between tainus Esther and the other tainus. Somebody asked me in Shabbat just now, he wants to know if you're allowed to take a haircut today. So the Mishnah Brewer writes that we don't take haircuts in 3 weeks. One doesn't take a haircut the whole Yid Beis Chodesh. If one is an Avelis Alav Alimai, you don't take a haircut even after the Shloshim is up until you reach the point of Ad Shigar B'Chaverov. So the Mishnah Brewer quotes Achreinim, the Bir Aloch, he quotes Achreinim, want to say that on Asar B'Tevis and Shivasa B'Tamuz, even though all we observe is that you don't do Achilush Tia, we don't even observe the other Nihugim, but the Pashtus is that Avelus Yud Beis Chodesh is a light form of Avelus. So the Pashtus is that whatever is Noeg and Yud Beis Chodesh, you should be Noeg, you're observing a light form of Avelus on Shivasa B'Tamuz and Som Gedalia, so one should observe. One shouldn't take a haircut. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Bir Aloch. He writes like that. So the Shaila is, does that apply to Tainus Esther or not? The Rav Soloveitchik taught that not. He said that the other Tainesim are Avelus, so it makes sense to volunteer. The Magen Avraham quotes the Ramban. If a person is up to it, he should really volunteer on Asar B'Tevis, on Gedalia, Shivasa B'Tamis, to fast 24 hours, Laila Vayom, and to observe all the Hamisha Inuim, except for shoes. The Magen Avraham, I think that he quotes from the Shalom. If you're going to, a person always wears leather shoes, and then all of a sudden, on Asar B'Tevis, going to walk around with sneakers, so it's like he's advertising to the public that he's such a Bal Nefesh, he's Machmed, that he doesn't wear shoes. So he says, if you want to be a machmer, don't advertise. So the shoes, you shouldn't, unless you have the time to wear sneakers. Fine, so wear sneakers on a Sarva Davis and some Gedan. But if it's a person who normally would not wear sneakers, he would normally walk around with leather shoes, so he says, you shouldn't observe that Midas Chasidus, because that's already too public. To wear sneakers, that's already too public. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that Midas Chasidus that the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shalom, based on the Ramban, that on the other Taneisim you should observe Laila Vayom, you should observe Al Chamisha Inuim, that doesn't apply to Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is not a Tainus Shal Avelus, it's a Tainus Shal Simcha, everything worked out. And for sure, that's what he said. And I'm adding on for sure, the other Chumrah, not to take a haircut, that for sure doesn't apply. That for sure doesn't apply on Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther, Tainus Shal Simcha. So what's the din, let's say, if a Tainus falls out on Shabbos, so you don't fast, so you observe the Tainus on Mother, except for Yom Kippur, that's their Raisa. So if you have, let's say, Tisha B'Av is in Itre, so instead of fasting on Shabbos, Tisha B'Av they fast on Sunday as Asiri B'Av. So the Mishnah says in Tainus that there were families who had a chazakah. Every year they would bring bismancha bismigdash haikaim, they would bring korban etzim to the Beis HaMikdash. They would bring a ton of logs, and they bring some of the logs on a specific day. It was around 10 different families, 10, 15, I forgot already, and the mission tells you when. So there was one family, their chazakah was always on Yudov. They brought the korban etzim on Yudov. And there was their yontif shalahem. That was their yontif. For the rest of Klal Yisrael, it wasn't a yontif. For them, it was a yontif. But like if you have a bris, so the father, the mother, the moil, and the sannik are the four bali bris. Shulchan Aruch, they talk about three bali bris. But the Mishnah Berurah says the mother is also a bali bris. The father and the mother. So there are four bali bris. The father, the mother, the moil, and the sannik. They're the four bali bris. So the day that you have a bris, it's a yontif shalahem for the four bali bris, not a yontif for the rest of Klal Yisrael. Or chas and kala. So chas and kala, shivus man mishta, it's yontif shalahem. It's not a yontif for me. I got married over 50 years ago. But for the chas and kala, just got married. So for them, the shivus man mishta, that's their yontif. So the Gemara says, on one occasion, Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos, and everybody was fasting on Sunday. And this person, this Tanner of Lesbar Psodik, I think, was a descendant of Bnei Ben Bnei Sana Ben Binyamin. He was a descendant of that family, had a chazokah to bring the korban etzim on Yudov. So he fasted because it was Tisha B'Av Shenitche. Isanina v'lo hishlam nuhu. We didn't fast the whole day. They fasted till after chatzos, and then they called it quits. Mepnei sheyantab shalana hayo. So that's the way it's assumed in Shulchan Aruch. Whenever it's a yontif, whenever it's not a yontif, but ganz klal Yisrael, it's only a yontif chas and kala, bali the four bali bris, or the one who brings the korban etzim. Whenever a person brings a korban, that day is considered a yontif. The Rambam writes it up. That day is considered a yontif. So if it's a yontif shalahem and it's a tisha b'av shenitche, then you're allowed a hisanina v'lo hishlam nuhu. What if it's not a nitre? What if the bris is on Tisha B'Av? So that's a machlekes achrayim. So some achrayim brought a raya from the Gemara. The Gemara asks, why did that family only hisanina v'lo hishlam nuhu? They only broke the tonis when Tisha B'Av was a nitre, and that so everybody was fasting on Yudov, and that was their yontif shalahem every year. When they have a yontif, Yudov is like a yontif of Megillas Tainis. So the Gemara says, so lefnehem should be also to fast. So they should have broken the tonis of Tisha B'Av every year, because it's the day before their. So the Gemara works on that kasha. I already forgot. The Gemara in Erevin, I think, Daf Mem on the base, works on that kasha. So don't you see from the Gemara that yontif shalonu is a room, there's room to be makel to eat even on Tisha B'Av. Not just if Tisha B'Av is an itre, even if Tisha B'Av is manoi. So the Morgan Abram quotes a tshuva from Marab Lumblin. We don't paskan like that Gemara. That Gemara there in Erev and Mem on the base, the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. What's the din if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday? In our calendar, it never happens. Tisha B'Av, the only tonus that can fall out on a Friday is Asar B'Tavis. Asar B'Tavis falls out on a Friday. So what's the din of Asar B'Tavis falls out on a Friday? Do you fast the whole day? So Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, you're not allowed to fast on Erev Shabbos. Kadesh le'yikonis l'Shabbos kishuhu me'una. When Shabbos enters, you're starving. On the one hand, it's highly improper to have a big feast on Erev Shabbos, to have a fleshig meal. Magen quotes the Shalom, you're not allowed to eat a fleshig meal on Friday. There are some yeshivas in Herzod, I remember years ago, they serve fleshigs every day for lunch. Friday also they give fleshigs. That's against the din. You're not allowed to serve fleshigs, considered a fancy meal. It's a shalom if you have a bris on Friday morning. Preferable is when you have a bris that it should be a fleshig meal. So that's the Magen Avraham quotes the Shalom, that the Shalom had two rabbeim, so they had different practices. When the bris would be serving fleshigs on Friday, one rebbe would not stay to the bris because he held you're not allowed to eat fleshigs even with makam mitzvah, and the other one would stay to the bris. Shalom quotes the two practices. But if there's no bris, it's not right to have an elaborate meal. So on the one hand, you're not allowed to eat an elaborate meal. Remember, once years ago, we had a pinyon aben on Friday morning. So they served fleshigs. It was before Chatzos, so they served fleshigs. A bris also. I think the bris, now most of the people never serve fleshigs by bris. That's not right. You should serve fleshigs. And even if it's on Friday morning, the pashtus is that you do serve fleshigs. But maka mitzvah, you do. So on the one hand, it's not right to have elaborate meals on Friday. If you're if you're going to eat, you're going to be all full on Friday, so you won't really enjoy the Suda Shabbos so well. On the other hand, so maybe fast the whole day Friday. Gemara says, no, that's also improper. You shouldn't enter Shabbos that he's starving and he's chadashing to eat some food. So you have to eat a little bit on Friday. So that's consideration. So Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that they lived in Banshi Kitchel Piyariya, so Tisha B'Av sometimes fell out on Friday. The Gemara says once Tisha B'Av fell out on Friday, and Rabbi Akiva fasted, but he broke the fast late in the afternoon. Kadesh Alei Kanes L'Shabbos Kishuhu Ma'una. But the Gemara says we don't pass like the Be'ilchasa. When Tisha B'Av pulls out any Tanis, by us, only Tanis is Asar B'Tavis. Tanis pulls out on Friday, so you misano mashlim. You have to fast till the end of the day. We don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. So the Magen Avraham quotes a tshuva from the Maharam Lublin. He's the one on the bottom of the Mashor. There were different people when they were known as Maharam. He's known as the Maharam Lublin. So the Maharam Lublin has tshuvas also. That is style. Nobody reads the tshuvas Maharam Lublin anymore. But the Magen Avraham quotes him a lot. So he says that Gemara that says that you're allowed to eat even if Tisha B'Av is not in Nidcha, that's only, even if Tisha B'Av is Bismana, that's only according to the Svar of Rabbi Akiva, that he holds that you're allowed to eat on Tisha B'Av Gufa if it's Erev Shabbos. But just since we don't accept that, the Gemara said Hilchas HaMasano Mashlam, you fast the whole day if it's Friday, so what denami, you don't accept this idea that if you have a bris on Tisha B'Av that's not a Nidcha, you should be allowed to eat. The story goes that Rav Al Yashiv, when he was already an old man, he was deep into his 90s and he needed surgery. And after the surgery, he wasn't allowed to fast for the first couple of days. And there was a tannus. Tannus came up. So he felt very bad. He was always very tall and very, he used to walk very sturdy, and he was always very healthy. And he always fasted all the tannaisim since the time he was by mitzvah. He felt very bad. He's going to have to eat on the tannus. So he asked, maybe someone's having a bris, and maybe the grandfather will give me the right to be the sandik. And there's a shita in Shulchan Aruch that we don't pass like. There is a shita that the sandik, the four bali bris, are allowed to eat, even though the tannus is not a nitre. So he said, maybe there's someone who will give me the sandik course. So they said, maybe there's someone, they'll give their right arm to give you the sandikos. So from that time on, he was a sandik every single day. So he used to be a sandik at three bris in one day, four bris in one day. I remember there's one of the boys from YU. The Sephardim liked it, and the Americans. The Israelis never went for that. They never asked Rav Al Yashiv to be. I went to a bris. One of the boys from YU was learning there in Mir Yeshiva. He had a bris, and Rav Al Yashiv was the sandik. Well, Yashin was the son. He used to have three, four brisen every day. Yeah. But the first time, he never used to go. He didn't know these people. But the first time it happened was when after he had a surgery, and then the doctors told me he's not allowed to fast on the tonus because he wasn't up to it. So he asked, maybe someone will give him some dekoes. And the one opinion in Achrayim that we don't paskin like, that even if it's a yontav shalanu, you're the bala bris, even though it's not a nitcha, you're allowed to eat. So they made him a sandik, and he was allowed to eat anyway, because a choyla, he was allowed to eat anyway. So the Maharam Lublin says that it's totally zebizeh. That Gemara that says that yontav shalanu, you're even mekal on Tisha B'Av, that's with the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that if Tisha B'Av falls out on Friday, even though it's mamish Tisha B'Av, you break the Torah's Kadesh Lo Yikonis El Shabbos Kishu Ma'una. But since the Gemara Paskins against Rabbi Akiva, Hilchas HaMasana HaMashlim, so therefore the Yontav Shalana doesn't work on Tisha B'Av Gufa. What does one have to do with the other? What's the connection? Magen Avraham just quotes it from the Maharam Lubim. So Meir Rav Soloveitchik said, I thought it was a fantastic pshat. He said, pshat is like this. According to Rabbi Akiva, whenever there's a mitzvah to eat, then you eat on Tisha B'Av also. So Kadesh Lo Yikonis L'Shabbos Kishu Ma'una, the guy's starving, he's fasting a whole day, so that's a mitzvah to eat a little bit on Erev Shabbos, in order that he shouldn't enter Shabbos in such a state. Rabbi Akiva holds that's enough to be matter. So he ate on Tisha B'Av Gufa. So if you hold like that, then if it's a Yontav Shalanu, it's also a mitzvah to eat. So Yontav Shalanu, it's a mitzvah to eat. So Yantam Shalanu, so since it's a mitzvah for the Sandik, the Chasen Kala, it's Yantam Shalahem, so you're allowed to eat, even though it's Tisha B'Av, even though it's Tonis, it's not a Nitche. But once we don't paskan like Rabbi Akiva, we paskan Misano Mashlim. If the Tonis is on Erev, Asar B'Tev is on Erev, Shabbos got to fast the whole day. So there is no such din, that whenever there's a mitzvah to eat, you're allowed to eat. So how come by a, if it's a Nitche, why do we allow you to eat on a Nitche? So Chacham Avadya writes in a tshuva, because anitche is less serious chiyuv. So since it's a less serious chiyuv, so the mitzvah teeth allows you teeth. So he says, if so, so Tainus Esther is even less serious than a Tainus that's a nitche. Because Tainus Esther says, Shulchan Aruch, even koah ve'enayim are allowed to eat. You don't even have to be a chalushem b'sakana. So that's the reason that he gives, that the yontem shalon ahoya, the chasen kala, or the bali bris should eat on Taina Sesta, even if it's not a mukdam, it's never a nitche, even if it's on the yomo, because it's a less serious tannis. I thought for a different reason. I thought for the following reason, that once we don't accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion that when the tannis falls out on Erev Shabbos, there's a mitzvah to eat, so you eat. So what's the reason why we allow the Bali Bris to eat or Yantam Shalano, if it's the Yom Korban Eitzim, how come you're allowed to eat if it's a Nitche? So Rav Soloveitchik explained like this. He said, when you have, let's say, Tisha B'Av is a Nitche, so the Yom HaTainis is really Shabbos, but you're not allowed to fast on Shabbos, so you fast on Sunday. It's not that the Ika Takana was on Sunday, it's a Tashlumen for yesterday. So yesterday, that's how many Rishonim say. So yesterday was the Yom HaTanis, but today is the Zman Kiyam HaTanis. But today is not the Yom HaTanis. Today is not the Yom Evil. Yesterday was. So since today doesn't have a Chal Hashem Yom HaTanis, so you can superimpose, you can impose on the day a shame Yontif Shalanu. For the Chasen Kala, for the Bali Bris, it's a Yontif. But if it's Tisha B'Av Mamish, so the day is called the Yom Evil. So how can you superimpose a shame Yom Tov on top of Yom Evil? It's a Taita Desasre. So the Heter only applies if it's a Nitche. If it's not a Nitche, not. So I thought, based on Rav, so he said, that's why the Maram Lublin said, Maram Lublin doesn't explain this. I thought Rav Soloveitchik's explanation was a genius. He used to give Rav Soloveitchik, but he used to give Shurim on Shulchan Aruch, they were better than the Shurim on the Gemara. There are two dinim in Shulchan Aruch that contradict each other. He was a genius at figuring out why there's no steer. Like over here, the Maram Limlin says that it's Toli Zebizeh. Why is it Toli Zebizeh? So he gave this whole fantastic hezbah. That if the din would have been like Rabbi Akiva, that you're allowed to eat on Tisha B'Av Gufa when it's on Friday. So you see, whatever is a Mokka mitzvah to eat, you're allowed to eat even on Tisha B'Av. So the Yontav Shalana is matter even on the Tainus itself. But Hayosta, we don't paskan like that. So why do we allow people to eat if it's a Tisha B'Av Shenitche? The story in the Gemara, the answer is a different reason why. Because when it's a Nitche, the Yom HaTanis was yesterday, and today the day is not labeled as a Yom HaTanis. So today you can label the day as a Yom Tov Shalanu. But if today is Tisha B'Av, today is the Yom HaTanis, you can superimpose the Shem Yom Tov on top of the Shem Yom Tanis. It's a Taita Desasri, Yom Evil. Yom Evil and Yom Tov is a Taita Desasri. But once you assume like the Eshkol, that Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shel Simcha, then there's no Taita Desasri. It's a Yom Simcha, it's a Tainus Shel Simcha, but it's not an Eis Tzara. So that's not a Taita Desasri with Yontav Shalanu. It's a Yontav Shalanu, and it's a Yom, it's a Tainus Shel Simcha, so there's no stira with labeling the day as Yontav Shalanu. I thought that was the reason why. You didn't have to give the explanation that Chacham Avadya gave, that the Tainus Shenitche is a lower level Chiyuv, and therefore Tainus Esther is even a lower level than that. Kal v'chaymer from a Tainus Shenitche. I thought you can do even without going with the Madregas of what's Mocham and what. The whole din, the whole Svara doesn't apply in this case. So that's the issue. That's the issue. The two Gersois and the Rambam. The Rab Zalman al-Baloshin had, where the Tainus Esther was there from day number one, and they fasted the Tainus Esther of his mom by Shenya. No, it was only introduced in the days of the Goyinim.
In this last point that he made about not being able to superimpose Yimei Simcha and Yimei Hevel, is that related at all to what Rebbe says, that you make too much in a row of him, the Shach, and superimposing days, there's a chalot, like I led it, and is that Yom Kippur or not, or is that a totally separate thing? I spoke about last year in Dar Chavura. Depends on the type of day. Are we superimposing a chalot shini on this day, or is it a calendaric day?
It's a little related, but not too much. Not really too much related. Yeah.
Where did the Chachamim get the idea from to create a Tainus Shel Simcha in commemoration of the Tainus that was in the times of Mordechai and Esther?
I don't know. That's what it says in the Megillah. I don't know. All the other Tainusim were Tainus Shel Avelus. I don't know. Interesting.
Why was the Yom Tov Shalem of Roman Eitzim for the Dari, for all their descendants, but, you know, person's anniversary, they made a
bris,
is not
every
year.
Yeah. Well, for many generations, the family continued to give the Korban Eitzim on Yudov. But it sounds funny, more even after the Churban Abayis, they still celebrated. What are they celebrating? I don't know. The simple reading of the Mar is even after the Churban Abayis, they still celebrated. That's a very good question. I don't know the answer to that. This morning we recited Yud Gimel Midas. Achrenim have a machlekes. So the person, a lot of times people are traveling home l'kovet Purim, so they're not going to have a minyan when they say the slichas. So there's a big machlekes. The kids of Shulchan Aruch, it's a big machlekes. Achrenim, whether reciting Yud Gimel Midas is considered a davar shebikdusha or not. So what are the nafka minas for the davar shebikdusha? So the Achrenim have the classical Achrenim from the 1500s, and the tshuva is going in Basroi. So they write that there are three nafkaminas l'din. One is where they need a minyan. Number two, where they need amida. He's supposed to stand up. Because the Dovah Shebikdusha, Magan Avram quotes from the Achreinim, that you're supposed to stand for Dovah Shebikdusha. Because it says in Sefer Shoftim, when they killed Egla Melech Moav, no?
Yeah.
So he said, Dvar Lekim Li Ala Melech. So he stood up. V'yokam Yala Kisei. So you see that from that pasuk, they're supposed to stand up for davar shebikdusha. And third nafka mina is atifa. Atifa, we usually assume, atifa, that's a question, what does it mean? So we were just talking the other day. So Rabbi Yosef Kara writes, what do you mean you need atifa? When you bench ala kos, the Gemara says you need atifa. You mean you have to wear a yarmulke, and you don't bench ala kos, when you bench a nar ala yayin, then you can say the bracha begilei rosh. So Rabbi Yosef Kara said, how can you say bracha begilei rosh? No. You always need a yarmulke. When you say bracha lakos, you would need an atifa, two yarmulkes, something more than a plain old yarmulke. That's the Beis Yosef writes like that. And the Tosfos Yontif disagrees, and he says, he quotes the Beis Yosef, and he disagrees. So who says that there's a din? You're not allowed to say a bracha begilei rosh. You can say a bracha begilei rosh, but these, whenever you need atifa, then you have to have a kisui harosh. So Chacham Avadya points out that this machlekes between the Beis Yosef and the Tosfos Yontif appears in the Masechta Sofrim as a machlekes hatanoim. Machlekes hatanoim, is it permissible to say bracha all year long? Begilui harosh, is there such a din or not? But so the din is that you need all three. You need davar shebikdusha, yud gimel midas. We assume that it's davar shebikdusha. You need a minyan, and you need amida, and you need atifa. One of the tefillahs that we mentioned was Aseh Leman Pei Recha. We go through the whole Aleph Beis. So the Man Amitecha, so the Man Berbisecha, so the Man Godlecha B'Sifatecha. So the Man Pei Recha. So there's an interesting interpretation that's usually attributed to Chassidus Rebbe. I think Rabbi Hirsch Melech Dinever, the one who wrote the Bnei Yisoscha, has it, Chassidus Deitch. And I found that the Sfardim have the same pshat. One of the Sfardish Gedolim has the same pshat, that tefillin is called pe'er. Percha chavoy shalecho. The Gemara quotes a pasuk when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yechezkel HaNavi he should observe Avelus over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but it didn't happen yet. So some parts of Avelus he did observe, some he didn't, because it didn't happen yet. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you do wear tefillin. After the Beis HaMikdash, when you have real Avelus, then you're not allowed to wear tefillin. Ovel Yom Rishon, not allowed to wear tefillin. But since it's only in preparation to demonstrate that there's going to be a Churban Abayis, a Percha Chavosh Alecha. So the Gemara understands that the word per means a tefillin. So the Gemara says in Brachas that Rabbanu Shalom wears tefillin. We're not sure what that means. That Rabbanu Shalom doesn't have a body. How can he wear tefillin? Rabbanu Shalom wears tefillin. And what parshias does he have in the tefillin? So just like we have in our tefillin, Hashem Echad, we say we have in the tefillin parshias about that fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique. So he has in his tefillin parshias, dalet parshias that say V'kam Yisrael ka'echad ba'aretz, and other parshias that say about the unique status of the Jewish people. So if there's an Eis Tzara, if there are redifus, there are pogroms against the Jews, and we're fasting Tanaisim, so the Rabbanu Shel Olam's tefillin apostle. So we say, I say, L'man Pe'erecha, you're wearing tefillin. It says in the tefillin that the Jewish people are the best in the world, and they're not the best. They're killing them. They're harassing them. They're tumbling over here. And that's what they interpret. They both. Pirsh Melech Dinah has it, and B'nai Yisoscha, and the Sfarad Shigdalim also have the same thing. That the Mishnah in Sanhedrin has an expression, V'zman She'isol Shiruyim B'tzar, Shechina Mahaloshin Omeris. What does the Rabbanu Shalom say? He says, Kalani Meroshi, Kalani Mizroi. My head hurts and my arm hurts. Why does his head hurt and his arm hurt? So they both say the same shot, because he wear tefillin shel Rosh and tefillin shel Yad. So he says, my tefillin apostle, my tefillin have the parshas about how special the Jewish people are, and here they're in a miserable state. So that's what they interpret. Say leman pi'erecho, do it for the sake of your tefillin. Your tefillin should be kosher. When we lay in Kriyas HaTorah, so we lay in the Yud Gimel Minas. So this morning the Balkari lay together, v'nake lo yinake together. Rav Soloveitchik used to insist that the Balkari should pause. V'nake lo yinake, he should pause in between, because the Gemara interprets that it's not one phrase. The Gemara says, v'naku hu l'shovim, v'ena menaka l'sheino shovim. There are Yud Gimel Minas, harachmim, and we end, when we say along with the chasm, we say v'nake. We don't say v'nake lo yinake. So we're following the interpretation of the Torah Shem Bal Peh. V'nake, pause, menaka l'shovim, v'ena menaka l'sheinam shovim. If you read it together, so you're misrepresenting what it says in the Pasuk. Torah Bal Peh interprets this additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk. So he felt you should pause a little in between, so at least the Trappist, the Kriya should not be against the Torah Bal Peh. Shouldn't be against it. You can pause in between, and still if he pshuta means v'nake lo yinake. But if you pause a little in between, then you have the both levels of interpretation. But if you're going to say it together, then you can't say menakul shav and menakul shein shav. The interpretation of the Torah Shabbat Peh doesn't fit in at all. One of the psukim we said this morning in the Kriyas HaTorah was, "Menom tzasechem enech Hashem yelach na Hashem kebein ki am ksheyorefu." So we spoke on other occasions that the word ki mishamish bedalad l'shoynes. Rashi and Chumash quotes it. The Gemara, the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, has like that. That the word ki has four different meanings, and some of the meanings have four different meanings, more than four meanings. So very often ki means because, and every so often the word ki means the opposite from because, despite the fact. So that's what the Ibn Ezra says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's not going to be mashu shechinah, somebody saw ki am ksheorefein. I don't want to be there. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "If not, Mitzvahsechem Enech Hashem Yelach Na Hashem Mikebenu Ki Am Kishar." Not because we are in. That's the reason why he doesn't want to. Ki means despite the fact that we are an Am Kishar, still be Mashal Shchinas Rabbeinu. And we pointed out that there are different psukim in Tanakh, in different places in Tanakh, that the word Ki seems to have that mashmos. Like the Ben Ezra says over here, Ki means despite the fact. The Tanya Siba, the Ikka Kriyas HaTorah really is by Mincha. In the days of the Gemara, the Vilna Gaon, the Be'er Agra writes like this. In the days of the Gemara gives you the whole project, the whole program for Tanya Siba. They didn't have Kriyas HaTorah by Shachris, unless it was Sheni Vachamishi. But today is Wednesday. So the Gemara, they only had Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha. And we have a minig that started in the days of the Gaonim that you lay by Chalim. You don't say the Haftorah. You only say the Haftorah to Mincha. That's Kach Tikno Atanoim. But in Shacharis, the meaning only is that you learn Kriyas HaTorah. How can you introduce a Kriyas HaTorah that the Chachamim are not Mechayiv? It's not a bracha levatol. Everybody says a bracha shenasan lanu, shabacha banu, shenasan lanu. Isn't it a bracha levatol? So the Netziv has a tshuva. It's not the first tshuva. The first tshuva is about the size of the first tshuva in the Meshiv Dover is to the Chofetz Chaim. That in the Mishnah Brewer it says that if you don't wear a big enough Arba Kamfis, then it's a Shaila of Hoitzoah on Shabbos. So the Netziv disagrees. Why is a guy walks all week long? He goes like this. There's a Shaila of Hoitzoah on a tie. Whatever you wear in its normal way. This crazy guy, he wears a baby sized Arba Kamfis. He wears it all week long like that. So it's Legor from a tie. You can say it's a Brochel of Atala. Okay. It's a Brochel of Atala. You're not Yotze any mitzvah. You can't say it's Hoitzoah. That's his tine against the Mishnah Brewer. But he has one of the following tshuvas in the Meshiv Dover is that they had a Hachnasa Sefer Torah, I think, in Chicago, and they were dancing and singing in the street on a Sunday when everybody doesn't go to work, and then they decided to auction off aliyahs on Sunday, make some more money for the kehillah, auction off the aliyahs, then they started laying Kriyas HaTorah. And somebody said, what are you, crazy? It's Bracha Levatol. You can't lay Kriyas HaTorah on a Sunday. So they had a whole machlokes in the community. So they sent to Shalatin and didn't see, is it a bracha levatola? So he says, I think it is a bracha levatola. But he says, a day on which there is a takonas kriyas haTorah, if you lay twice in the same day, he thinks that that's not a bracha levatola. If it's Monday or Thursday, or let's say a tonis, there is a takona to lay by mincha. So by shachris, there never was a takona, but a day on which there is a takona to lay, so if you lay, you're not allowed to make koysof, as the Gemara said, because tichah de tzibur, people have to go to work. But it's not a shaila fin koysof. If people want it, the community decides they want to have a kriyas haTorah, an extra kriyas haTorah, so he thinks that's not the bracha levatol. Interesting question, why not? But by mincha, we're going to have the, by mincha is the real kriyas haTorah, that's the real takona. So we're going to have the kriya, the three aliyas, with the Haftorah. The Gemara has a machlekes amarayim and Megillah. Well, whether maftarayla leminyan akruim on that. Let's say on Shabbos you have to have seven aliyahs and you have to have maftir. So the seventh one is maftir. If you want, you can make koisavis, you can have 15 aliyahs. But if you don't want to, you just want to have the bare minimum. So you can have seven aliyahs and the seventh one will be maftir. Or they say the maftir is not oyla leminyan akruim. So that's a machlokes amarayim in the Gemara. How do we paskin? So Tosis has a machlokes, the Rabbeinu Tam, and Tosis has a machlokes with the Rabbeinu Meshulam. So Rabbeinu Tam says the psak is mafter is oil lemin yakruim. Go haraya from Taina Sibur. If the din would be the mafter is not oil, you would have to give three aliyahs to mincha and then give the mafter another aliyah. We don't do that. So you see that the mafter mikra din mafter is oil lemin yakruim. I hakam on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you give six aliyahs plus maftar and haftar. Shabbos, you give seven aliyahs plus another aliyah, maftar and haftar. And on Yom Tov, you give five aliyahs plus. So Rabbi Natan says, if you can satisfy the both opinions and the Gemara, why not? Because it's mutter to make koisofas. Rabbi Natan assumes it's not only mutter to make koisofas on Shabbos, it's mutter to make koisofas on Yom Tov and on Yom Kippur as well. Our meaning is not so because the Ran disagreed. The Ran on the Rib says you can only make koisofas on Shabbos because Shabbos you have the highest number of aliyahs. If you're going to make koisofas on Yom Kippur, then you're treating Yom Kippur with the same chashivas that only Shabbos deserves. You're going to make koisofas on Yom Tov, instead of five aliyahs, you're going to give six or seven. You're giving Yom Tov the chashivas that only belongs to Yom Kippur or to Shabbos. But Shabbos is the highest on the list. So Shabbos you can make koisofas. But the Meikar Adin, we really hold like the Rabbeinu Tam. That's our practice on Simchas Torah. We give everybody, we make many hasabis, give 100 aliyahs on Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is usually not on Shabbos, it's on a weekday. So you see that on Yom Tov, you're permitted to make hasabis. So that's the Rabbeinu Tam holds like that. And the Rabbeinu Meshulam holds not so. He says, for the fact that Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur, we give seven aliyahs, then you have another one. You see that we pass him after. It's not oil in the minyan akruim. What do you do with the Rabbeinu Tam's argument from a tiny sibur? So he doesn't explain. So Rav Soloveitchik explained why. He said the Gemara has one opinion that when a tonis falls out not on a Monday or Thursday. You only give one aliyah, and that one aliyah is maftir. What is that all about? Only what? We don't pass like that. We pass, you got to give a kriya sotar, you have to have a minimum of three aliyahs. Can't give a kriya sotar one aliyah. But there's one Tana says that when the Tanis falls out on a Wednesday, it's not a day of kriya sotar, so you only give one aliyah. The mincha, when you lay the maftir, give the one aliyah and say the haftarah. What is that all about? Rav Soloveitchik said that the ikar kriya on the Tanis is the haftarah. The Navi gives Musar and Tachacha to Bnei Yisrael, they should do tshuva. So we want to learn from a Navi to give Tachacha. That's what they would do on a Tanis. They would give Musar and they would go around in the community. Do we know if anyone is doing an Avera? And then they would gather together to daven Mincha with Tzibur. They wouldn't learn Kriya Sator in the morning, they would learn only by Mincha. So the Iker Kriya was really the Haftarah. For the Navi, the Ritochacha, the Rei Musa. But the Gemara has a din, Hamafta Benovit Tzach Sheikha Batorah Tchilo. You can't have just an aliyah to lane the Teuchacha from the Navi. You have to lane first something from the Sefer Torah. So one Tana says that one aliyah is enough. All you need is one aliyah to satisfy that din, Hamafta Benovit Tzach Sheikha Batorah Tchilo. So we hold not so. So we hold no, you can never have Kriya Sator less than three aliyahs. But the whole Kriya Sator is only in order that the Mafta Benavi, the whole Kriya Sator is for the purpose of the Haftarah. To enable you to say the Haftarah, you have to have Tzach Sheikha Batorah Tchilo. You can't have Kriya Sator one aliyah or two, you have to have minimum of three. So therefore, sure, the Mafta is out of the Minyan Akrim. That's what the Rabbi Meshulam apparently thinks. There never was a Machlokes on a Tainus. Rabbi Natan brings the right from the fact that on a Tainus Sibur, Shlishi is the maftir, so that's all right. The maftir is oil le minyan akruin, and the Rabbeinu Meshulam holds not so. He holds mikra adin maftir is not oil like we do on Shabbos, Yontav, and Yom Kippur. What's tainus? So apparently he thinks that the tainus there never was a machlekes. For sure, the maftir is oil, because the whole purpose of the kriya sater is only to enable you to lane the after. So for sure, the shlishi is the maftir. So the minig always used to be that. Like this morning, when they had Kriya Sator, so after Shlishi, the Balkari says Chatzi Kaddish. The meaning always was that when you're laying Kriya Sator on a tiny Sibur, you say Chatzi Kaddish after Shlishi, and then the one who got Shlishi says the Haftarah. So Rabbi Kivega writes, he abolished that meaning. He did away with it, because there's a Mogen Avram says that the Maimer in the Gemara in Megillah, Hamafta Menorah Tzach Sheikha Batorah Tchila, the word Tchila means immediately before. Immediately before he says the Haftarah from the Navi, he has to get an Aliyah. So if you're going to give Shlishi an Aliyah, then you're going to be Mafsik with Chatzi Kaddish, then say the Haftarah. So that's not Tchila. That's like yesterday. You gave him an Aliyah this morning. It has to be immediately before. You shouldn't have any Hafsokas. Rabbi Kivega writes, he was the one who abolished the Minig. There was a Minig for many years to say Chatzi Kaddish after Kriya Sator by Mincha, before the Haftarah. So he says it's against the Magen Avraham, you shouldn't do it. The problem is that we still do it on Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, you don't say Dusha Hashem Bihi Matzol, you say Asof HaSifayim. So I think the meaning is that you do say Chatzi Kaddish. Rav Soloveitchik broke his head to try to give Hasberim. I don't remember what he said, but it was a difficult issue. The Pashtus is like Rabbi Kivega said, that you should do away with it. The Magen Avraham has it in the following case. We once had it in the yeshiva. It was Pashtus by Yikra, I think. So they were in the middle of Shvi. They were finishing Shvi, the last aliyah. And the Gabbai had already told someone who was going to get Maftir. So in the middle of Shvi, the Balkoria found there's a mistake. So it can't just stop where you are. So you have to finish till the psucha of the stuma. So he can't stop within three psukim. He finished though. He finished the whole parshas Vayikra. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah, you put back the pasul of Sefer Torah, take on another kasha Sefer Torah, if you have to lane more. But if you find a mistake at the end of Shvi, so what are you going to put back a Sefer Torah, take out a new one just to repeat Maftir? He already finished. Under those circumstances, we follow the Rabbi Natam, who says the Mikra Adin, the Maftir Zola, the Minyan Akruim, So the guy who got Shvi will be Mafter. So the one who was told by the Gaba he's going to get Mafter didn't get the Mafter. It didn't happen. And the one who had Shvi became the Bala Mafter. And normally you say Kaddish after Shvi, and then you call up the Bala Mafter and you lay in again the Mafter and the Haftarah. But here, where the Shvi is going to be the Mafter, so the Mogad Aram says, Mechaber says, if you found a mistake at the end of Shvi, then you don't have a Mafter, a separate person. You don't take out a Sefer Torah in order to read over. You leave it the way it is. In that case, Mogad Aram says, you shouldn't say Chatzi Kaddish. Whatever the Mafter is going to be, Ola Lamin Yenakruim, then you shouldn't be Mafsik with Mafter. That's why I think it's not proper now. It became all over the world. They started this in the last couple of years. In Eretz Yisrael, in America, all over the world, they have this shtick. They say the Tefillah, the Shlom Hamadim, they give all the Misha Berachs for the Cholim and for the Shvuyim, Nedori Tzahal. They have a long Hapsaka in between the Maftir and the Haftarah. Why do they do it like that? So all the rabbis explain. Because after the Maftir, before the Haftarah, that's when you do Hagban Galila, that's when everybody starts talking. So in order that the people shouldn't talk, so they make an announcement, we've got to say Misha Berach for the Shlom Hamadim, everybody stands up and nobody does any talking. Very nice, you want to prevent the people from talking. But then you have a long hafsoke in between the mafter and hafter. That's exactly what the Magen Avraham says. It's not correct. Ad kedei kach, the Rebbe Kedeg had changed the minig hamakubo. Minig always was, he says so. He writes in his Jews. Minig was that you always say chatzi kaddish in between shlishi and the haftorah and a tiny sibah. Rebbe Kedeg abolished it because of this Magen Avraham. So it's not really right to say. All the tefillahs were all the cholim at that time. In the haftarah that we say Dirush Hashem v'hi motso, the haftarah for the tainis. So the pasuk says, "Ko amar Hashem la'sorisim sheish meru eshaps l'say b'achru b'asher chafatz the machazikim b'ivri si." What does that mean? So the Chafetz Chaim has in one of his essays, he has many essays and many different topics. So he says the mitzvah piri v'rivya is only really fulfilled if you have a son and a daughter and you teach them about Yiddishkeit. If you just give birth to the children, you don't give them any Jewish values, you don't teach them any Torah, it's a very incomplete mitzvah. So if a person is a soris, he's not able to have any children. So the Chafetz Chaim recommends, and Shlomo Kluge has this on the first page in Ebenezer, and the Stipula has, many of the Poskim say they recommend one should adopt the child. It's a partial kiyum mitzvah a piri v'rivya. If you adopt a child, then you teach him Torah. Ben Azai, the Rambam quotes the Gemara. Ben Azai said, "Napsha choshka b'Torah." He doesn't want to get married. But what do you mean doesn't want to get married? He doesn't want to shake a lulav. He doesn't want to eat matzah also. What kind of shtick is that? You don't want to get married. So stop learning so much. You got to get married. Ha'isik b'mitzvah, patam ala mitzvah, applies to every mitzvah except for Talmud Torah. The Gemara says, Talmud Torah doesn't pati you from other mitzvah. Hakam ben Azai says, nafshi choshka b'Torah. So the Rambam writes, if a person is crazy about learning and he doesn't want to get married, like ben Azai, ein b'yodo ovon. It will not be held against him. It's not right. It won't be held again. Why not? How are you talking? So Rav Soloveitchik taught because Ben Azai was teaching Torah Barabim. So he was transmitting Torah to the next generation. The mitzvah Bishleimu says you should have your own biological son and daughter and you should teach them Torah. You should transmit the Martimah as Benechem. You should teach them Torah. If you can't do that, so you adopt. You adopt, so you're teaching Torah to those children. And if he's not choshka b'Torah, he can't concentrate when there are little children running around. So at least he'll fulfill a mitzvah shalom b'shlei Musa by teaching Torah in public. Ben Azai was a marbitz Torah barabim. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. That's the reason why nafsha choshka b'Torah was a kula. Tosis and Megillah and Avdallah and Menalef has a dibra maskel psak. Very unusual Tos. Tos usually has a whole pilpul. He is just, they tell you, like a kitzur shulchan aruch, tell you, when you say chatzi kaddish, when you say kaddish olam, like a kitzur shulchan aruch. So at the end, the last line in the Tos, they say, that the minig is after you lay in the mikra megillah, you say atokadosh, which after you lost yourself, because that pasuk comes from Tehillim chapter chav beis, lam natzerech al ayelas al shachar, and lam natzerech al ayelas al shachar. The Gemara says is a reference to the Nes Esther. Ma ayelas al shachar sof kal alayla af Esther sof kal anisim. The Gemara says, why is Esther sof kal anisim? The Gemara says, "Sof kalanisim shenitnu lehikosev." Esther is a, you have the Megillah. Chanukah is not written down; it's not part of Tanakh, but Esther is in the Tanakh. So the perek is the tefillah that Esther offered. It was composed by David Melech. It was composed by David Melech, but it was recited by Esther. He composed the Baruch Hakodesh L'Manserach Alayelus Hashachet to be recited by Esther at some later date. So that pasuk about Tokadosh Shevti Los Yisrael comes from Tilim Daf Perik Chav Beis. So then the last line of Tosfos says, and why do we choose to say that chapter? Because Yesh Bo Mapolas Umas HaOlam. So you look in the chapter, it doesn't say anything. It doesn't say a word about Mapolas Umas HaOlam. So what are they talking about? So I saw the Aderis quotes in the name of the Netziv that he thinks that the line in Tosfos is a misprint. We have to check in Kisveyad and the other side. He thinks that it originally said Sheyesh ba tefilas Esther Hamalka. This is the tefillah Gemara said. This is the tefillah that Esther Hamalka said. Then somebody made a Rosh Tevis. Instead of writing Esther Hamalka, they wrote Aleph Hey. Then the next guy thought Aleph Hey means Umas Olam. Aleph Hey is Umas Olam. So he wrote Umas Olam. So Yesh ba tefilas Umas Olam. So then they corrected tefillas. Must be Mapolas. So that's the way it says by us. Yeshba Mapalasumas. Yeshba Mapalasumas. So the Aderis. Aderis is quoted as they have ksavna from the Aderis. So he quotes in the name of the Netziv that he thinks that it's a misprint. It's interesting. The Gemara Sanhedrin and the Sugya of Yohar Gval Yaba has a whole discussion about Esther. How is she allowed to live with Achashverosh? It's an Iser. And the din is that any iser b'farhesia, the din is yehar gval yaver. B'farhesia means b'fnei asara mi Yisrael. If there were 10 Jewish people watching, some they didn't have 10 Jews in the bedroom when she was with Achashverosh, but more than 10 Jewish people knew about it. The whole Jewish community knew about it. That was the tragedy of the generation that this tzaddik has had to live with the goy. So the Gemara asked the farhesia havoi, why don't you say yehar gval yaver? So the Gemara gives two answers there. So the Rishonim all ask a question. Why don't you ask a bigger question? Why do you ask Esther Farhesi Havoi? Why don't you ask Esther Gilei Arayis Havi? So the Ramban says that's not called Gilei Arayis. Gilei Arayis only if you have an Issa Kores. A Baal Achosa, Baal Eshishish, Baal Ima, Baal Bito, A Baal Anochris. A Jew should live with a non-Jewish woman. That is Kores. Even on Chumash it doesn't say. So the Gemara said that's Kores Mediri Kabbalah. In Treyoser it says, Yachres Hashem Leishahu Er V'yoyna. A pasuk in Novi says. In the Chumash it doesn't say, but in Novi it says that there's Kores. But the reverse, that's Habol Anochris, a Jewish man lives with a non-Jewish woman, that the Ramban says that would be Yehar Gval Yava. But a Jewish girl living with a non-Jewish man, there there's no Kores Mediri Kabbalah. And that's like Shari Surim. That's not Yehar Gval Yava. That Ramban is quoted la'alocha by the Ramo in Yerideya, the same Kuf Nazayin, the same about Yorag Vayava, quotes the Ramban that there's a difference. And he says the difference is if a Jewish man lives with a non-Jewish woman, if they have children, all the children will be goyim. So that's the end of the line. From Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, all the way till this guy, he lives with a nachris, that's the end of the line. So that's a serious avera. He's moilid bein lavad azar, mamid bein lavad azar. He's going to have biological children who will not be Jewish. Mashenikain, if the Jewish girl is living with a nachri, so the children will be Jewish, because it depends on the mother, doesn't depend on the father. So that's not the same darga of an Isser. In Europe, the minig used to be that when a Jew would convert, they would observe avelus. He spoke about it. The Chochmas Sodom has about Kabbal Chaymel Shechina Yud Dalad Yom. So they quote when the Rabbi Gershom's son converted to Christianity, so he sat Shiva for 14 days. So there are different versions. the Chacham Sadan quotes different versions. What do you mean? Is that some one version is he had sat Shiva 7 days. One version is he sat Shiva for 14 days, because Kavachem Nushchin Yudal Yom. Another version has he sat Shiva 7 days when the sun converted. Then later, years later, when the sun died, then he sat Shiva another 7 days. That 7 and 7 is 14. So the three different versions, what happened? But it was a tragedy. There was so much pressure from the Christians at that time. Rabbeinu Gershom's son converted to Christianity. So the first Lubavitcher Rebbe had a son also converted to Christianity, but he was crazy. He was Mamash HaMashugan. He did crazy things. So the Lubavitcher never talked about that. But the anti-Lubavitcher dug up all the dirt and they publicized it. So it's a history, part of Jewish history. Okay. Rabbeinu Gershom's son also converted. So Bala Tanya is like Rabbeinu Gershom. Okay. What can you do? But Tosfos and the Rishonim have a different kasha here. Fine. Living with a non-Jewish man is not Yehorig Val Yavar, that's Shari Surim. But the Gemara says but Esther Ein Lo Aviyim, and it says that Mordechai adopted her, Mordechai Omenes Hadasa, and that's Bati Lo Labas. So the Gemara says Tikri Labasa Lo Labais, the basis of Ishtoi. So according to the tradition of the Gemara Megillah, she was Reshesish, she was married to Mordechai. So Reshesish should be Yehorig Val Yavar. And apparently he didn't give her a get. Apparently he didn't give her a get. And then when she says she's going to go now to, out of her own free will, she's going to go on her own to Achashverosh. So the Gemara has a comment, Kasher Avadati Avadati, now that I'm going Beratzen, now I'm a Soita Asura Labaila, I won't be able to go back, I'll never be allowed to go back to my husband Mordechai. So the Gemara assumes that he never gave her a get. Taisa says, why didn't Mordechai give her a get? So at least to lessen the Isser, shouldn't be an Isser Eishasish. So Taisa says he was afraid, if you give a get, it'll become a foursome. The Edim who sign a shtar, always moitzi the kol, it'll become a foursome. So Achashverosh may decide to kill him, because he's the first husband. He may decide to kill him in order to wipe off the piss. So that he never gave a get, so she was mabes an Eishasish. So what does the Gemara just ask? Esther Farhes Yavoy, they should have asked for Esther Gilei Arayis Yavoy. Not because Bias Nochri, but because of Eishes Ish. So Tosfos has a big machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivam, the beginning of Ksuvis and in Soito and in Sanhedrin. Most people know it from the beginning of Ksuvis. So Tosfos has the Rabbeinu Tam gives one answer, and the Rivam gives a different answer. Rabbeinu Tam says Bias Sakam is not called Bia. So you're not in violation, strictly speaking, you're not in violation of Boal Eishasish and Nivola. Where does he come up with such a wild idea, Be'er Sakam Lav Shema Be'er? Because the Gemara says that by non-Jewish family, well, the parents are non-Jewish, the children, everybody's non-Jewish. The Gemara says the children are Mesachas after the mother, and with respect to certain din, they're not Mesachas after the father. Why not? So they dug up a pasuk, I think in Yecheskel, Vizir Masusim Zir Masum, I think it's in Yecheskel. Vizir Masusim Zir Masim. Apparently in the yeshivas in Europe they never looked up the pasuk, so they used to mispronounce it. Vizaramtu Susim Ziramtu. Dr. Belkin used to mispronounce it like that. He learned in Radin and other European Talmid Chachamim, that's how they mispronounced that pasuk. But the pasuk says Vizir Masusim Zir Masim. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, you see from that pasuk, that Biasakam Lav Shema Biya. How in the world do you see Biasakam? I think Gemara is talking about there's no Yachas. The children are not Misachas after the father, no Misachas after the mother. So how do you see that Biasakam Lav Shema Biya? So apparently that's what the Rivam asks on Rabbeinu Tam. The Pasuk doesn't say a word. The Pasuk says the Bain is not Misachas. How does it show? So apparently the Rabbeinu Tam is working on the assumption that the children are Misachas. Children are Misachas after the mother. She carried the baby for 9 months. So she's the mother. Okay. But why the children Misachas after the father? Because he had a Maisa Bia with the woman. So the Pasuk says the children are not Misachas. The reason why? Because they be also Bia. It's not called a Maisa Bia. Wow. The Rivam disagrees. That's a Shaila. If you have a man has a child with artificial insemination, he never had a Maisa Bia with the woman. Is the Vlad Misachas after the donor? So it could be that depends. And this machlekes Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivam. Rabbeinu Tam seems to be assuming that whenever there's no bia, then the Vlad is not Misachas after the father. And that's how he came up with this Chiddush, The Gemara said the Vlad is not Mashiachin, must be because Ein Biyosa Biyah. And the Rivam thinks that it has nothing to do with each other. The Vlad is Mashiachin even if there was no Maisa Biyah. That's a Shaila. What if it's in vitro fertilization, IVF? So some poskim are of the opinion that the Vlad is not Mashiachin after the mother. The Vlad is only Mashiachin after the mother if the Tchilas HaIbur takes place in the mother's body. But if the beginning of the Ibur, the joining of the egg with the Zera HaBal, happens not in the Guf HaIsha, even though she carries the baby for 8.5 months, but since the beginning didn't take place in her body, so the Vlad is not Mashiach, not after the father, not after the mother. So the Shaila, is the Vlad Jewish? Does he need Gerus? Someone just asked me 2 days ago, the guy asked me, the Vlad is not Jewish. Apparently it looked like he was a married person. I don't know, we assume the child is Jewish. Maybe he shouldn't be Jewish. I don't know. Yeah, so that's Negel Halacha. The story of Purim is Negel Halacha regarding artificial insemination. The fact that the Gemara asked for Esther for Hesi Avoy, the Gemara didn't ask for Esther Gili Arayis Avoy. So the Rabbein and Tam Hosea, that's a raya that Ebiyosa Bia. Wow. In the Megillah, it identifies who Mordechai was. It says, Asher Hoglo im Golus Yechonia, im Magal Shehoglo from Yerushalayim. So the Gemara, Torah Tamima quotes, the Gemara has a comment in the first parak of Megillah. The Gemara has around 10 blot. I got it, the running commentary on the Megillah. Shehoglo me'atzmo. He decided to go. First it was a Golus Yechonia, then years later there was a Golus Tzidkia. So he went on his own. So the question begs, why didn't he want? He was a Talmid Chacham, he was in the Sanhedrin. Why didn't he want to stay in Eretz Yisrael? Why should he go on his own if they didn't force him to go to Chutzlur? Why did he go on his own? So they say because the Golus Yechonia says they sent him to Golus Achorosh v'Hamazger. Gibori Chayil. So the Gemara says, what do you mean Choresh v'Hamazger? Artists, craft people who knew how to make nice things. Choresh v'Hamazger. The Gemara said the Choresh v'Hamazger is referring to big Talmid Chachamim. The Gedoli Hador went there. Apparently, they felt that the Golus Yechonia was a preparation for the Golus Tzidkia. They had established Torah. The biggest Talmid Chachamim, the members of the Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, Gibori Chayil. How could they Gibori Chayil? They were taking them in Shal Shaloh, Shal Barzel. They were chained. So what kind of Gibori Chayil? Gibori Chayil and Mechamta Shal Torah. They knew how to talk and learning. So Mordechai saw all the big Doli Hadar are being sent into Golas. I think it says they sent 1,000 people into Golas, and the Choresh HaMazger, they all volunteered on their own to go. I think they all went along. They felt that they're doing a mission for the Ramban Shalom to establish Torah in Babel. And if they wouldn't have gone, the Jews would have assimilated, would have intermarried, there wouldn't be any Jewish community there. So he did a mitzvah. Mordechai did a mitzvah by Shehoglo Me'atzmo to make sure to prepare for the future that they should have Torah there. The Psukim in the Megillah sometimes speak about Shushan, sometimes speak about Shushan Habira. And then the Gemara has an Agarata in the first parak of Megillah by the Agarata. Gemara says that when Esther said they should fast for 3 days, so Mordechai went, crossed over the river, and he went to the Beis Medrash where the little children were learning, and he had them also fast. What river? It doesn't say in the Megillah there's a river. What river are they talking about? Reuven Margolius writes that he checked into it, and the people who live there in Shushan, they say there's a river that divides the city in half. The Shushan Abira is one half of the city where all the government buildings were. That was called Shushan Abira. And the poor people lived in the other part of the city. That was called Shushan. So the Gemara knew that. The Gemara knew that, that there's Shushan and Shushan Abira. I remember years ago I was a rabbi in a shul, so there was a man who came from Persia, from Iran. So he tells me he had taken a neder to bring his son to Esther Amalka. I didn't know what he was talking about. So he said, they know what Kever Esther Amalka is. And it's a common practice, it used to be a common practice, that the Jews would bring their children at bar mitzvah time to the Kever Esther Amalka. So he said, he took a neder and he never fulfilled the neder. What should he do? He's over on the neder. So I told him that there's such an institution, Hataras Nedarim. He never heard of that. So he made Hataras Nedarim for him. Interesting, they know where Kever Esther Amalka, or they think they know where Kever Esther Amalka is. And it was a common practice that he used to take a neder to bring the children to visit. The Gemara in the end of Chulin has a comment that became famous. Haman men Hatorah minayin, where is the remez of Chumash for Haman? It says in Parashas Bereishis, by the chet of the Eitz Hadas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu confronts Adam HaRishon. He says, Hamin ho Eitz HaShed Tzivisich Levilte Achol Mimenu Acholta. So the word Hamin is the same letters as Haman. So what do they need, Apshetel? Hamin, Haman, what is it all about? So they quote from the Vilna Gaon that the Taich is like this. What did it bother Haman? Everybody's Kareh Mishtachva Talmud. So there's one Jew with a long beard, an old man who doesn't want to be Kareh Mishtachva. So what does it bother him? He must have been very old. Mordechai must have been very old. If he went in the Golas Yechonia, which is before the Golas Sitkia, and then the story of Purim was just 2-3 years before the Binyan Bayis Sheni. So he must have been 90 years old. No? This Golas Bavel was 70 years. I don't know. I don't know if the Gemara talks about how old he was. I don't remember. So the Velt asked that question, what is it about the Haman? Everybody's Kareh Mishtachva. So they say for the Vilna Gaon, that's of his human nature. They want to have everything. Not enough that he has 5,000 people. Kareh Mishtachva, he walks down the street, everybody's Kareh Mishtachva. There's one Jew who's not Kareh Mishtachva, that bothers him. So that's it. Where does that attitude come from? The attitude comes from Adam HaRishon. We're all descendants from Adam HaRishon. We all have this psychology. The Rebbe Shalom told him, Mikolei Tzagan, Ochel Teichel. You only can't eat from the Eitz Hadas, Shebetech Agan, La Teichel Menu. So he had a million trees he could eat from. What did he have to eat from the Eitz Hadas? He doesn't want to be restricted. He wants to have everything. So that's where the attitude came from, that it bothered Haman. Everybody's Kareh Mishtachva. There's one Jew, one old man, 95 years old, 105 years old. He doesn't want to bow down. So what does it bother you? No. It's in the human psychology from the days of Adam HaRishon like that. Then the Torah Tmima quotes Medrash Rabbah. I think it's a Bereishis Rabbah also. He quotes it from the Medrash Rabbah on Esther, that when Yaakov fooled Yitzchak Avinu to give him the bracha, and Esav came in and he found out that he was cheated, that his brother cheated him and he stole the brachas. So it says in the Chumash, it says in the Parsha, Vayizak Zakir Gdola Morad Miot, something like that, when Esav found out. So the Medrash says, because of that aggravation that Yankov caused Esav, that's why we needed a kapara. So the kapara was that Mordechai had a scream. When he heard about the Gzeirah, that they're going to wipe out the whole Jewish people, so he was aggravated, he was crying. What does it mean? So the, I think that in Siv, in his commentary on Chumash, has an interpretation of the Medrash. He says that what Yaakov Avinu did was a b'china of Aver Lishma. He fooled the father, but it's in order to bring about the result that we needed. The mother told him, "Alai ki l'los chabni," and the Targum Onkelos says, "Alai tamra benivu." I was told benivu that you're not going to get a klala, so he had to do it. But that it was really an aver l'shma. He's fooling the father and he's causing aggravation to Esav, and they never got along so well. Yaakov and Esav never got along so well. So when Esav was aggravated, Bistami Yaakov Avinu had a little personal pleasure from that. So the din is that Aver Lishma, you're allowed to do. On rare occasions, we allow Aver Lishma. Aver Lishma means you don't get any personal pleasure from it. But the Netziv says Yaakov probably had a little personal pleasure from the fact that his brother was aggravated. The mother told him, I had a nevuah, that you got to do this, and you're not going to get a curse. And so he's doing a pig de nevuah from the mother, and he's causing a little aggravation to the brother. So Klal Yisrael needed a kapara. So many generations later, Mordechai has to scream, the same expression appears. But Yizak Zaka Gdola Morad Miod, that was somehow Mida Keneged Mida, that we had to suffer because of the fact that Esav had suffered originally. We mentioned before that Esther says Kasha Avarati Avarati. So the Gemara says until now she was living with Achashverosh Ba'oines, and she doesn't become Pachat Misa, so she doesn't become Asur Al Bailo. So in case Achashverosh will drop dead, she'll be able to go back to her husband Mordechai. She was still married to Mordechai, but now she's going out of her own, she's initiating the Maisa's Nus. She's going to Achashverosh Beratzen, so she becomes Asura. So why was she allowed to do it in the first place? So the Beis Shmuel and the other Ebenezer, the last simon in Ebenezer is about Saita. And Eishes Eishes Inza Saita. The Saita Vadai and the Saita Sofik. Saita Sofik is if you only have Kenya Steer. So the Vadai means you know for sure that the Eishes Eish was Inza. So there the Beis Shmuel quotes from the Piskei Mari, I think. He quotes that even though Gili Arayis, Pikoch Nefesh is not Dechi Gili Arayis, it's Yorik Bal Yavar. But if it's Hatzolah's Klal Yisrael, the whole Jewish people, not Hatzolah, the Pischei Tshuva there quotes at Tshuva from the Achrayim, there was a group of Jews, 20 Jews were traveling in a caravan for business purposes, and the Goyim came to attack them, and they were going to kill them. And one of the women who was married started to become friendly with one of the Shabboim, and she was Mizana with him, and she saved all the 20 people. She calmed them down. So they say, why did she do it? Because Pikuach Nefesh, she wanted to save all the 20 people. So the Pischei Tshuva said, that's not Mutter. Even though it's Pikuach Nefesh, a whole group of people, that's not Mutter. The Pischei Mari says, it was Hatzolah's Klal Yisrael, the whole Jewish people was going to be saved because someone was going to kill everybody. So then, for Hatzolah's Klal Yisrael, then you say that you're allowed to violate Gili Arayis. I think the Chazon Ish explained why. Why is Hatzolah's Klal Yisrael Mutter? Because Klal Yisrael will be wiped out, that constitutes a Chil Hashem. So Chil Hashem is the biggest Avera. So that's why Chil Hashem is doiche the Avera of Gili Arayis. So despite the fact that it was beheter, because if Hatzol is Klal Yisrael, you're allowed to violate Loisinov, she's still going to be Asura Abaylo. That's what the Beis Shmuel quotes. You see from the Agadita like that. Even though it's for the sake of Hatzolah's Klal Yisrael, it's mutter to violate Lysinov, but she's still going to become Asur al Bailo because it's Beratzen, it's not Be'oinus, even though it's knows that it's not a husband. So that's a din of a Saita Vadai, that she's Asura.
I was
going to
ask, is that not considered an Onis?
Apparently not. Not an Onis, yeah, it's not an Onis. It's Bikuach Nefesh of Klal Yisrael. Hatzolah's Klal Yisrael is Mutter, but it's still not Be'oinus, because she knows that she's having an affair with someone other than her own husband. After we finish reading the Megillah, B'tzibur, so it says in the Gemara that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah composed a bracha, a Rabbis Rebbeinu Adonis Dineinu, that they instituted as an optional bracha. So the Mishnah says it depends on the minhag ha'mokom. Mokom shenagel levarach mevarachim. Mokom shenagel shelo levarach lo yevarachim. Gemara explains the three brachas before the Mikra Megillah, al Mikra Megillah shas and nisim shachyanu. That doesn't depend on the minhag ha'mokom. That's a real din. Kol ha'mitzvos kulam mevarach aleihem o'ev l'asi asim. But the bracha that you say Rabbi Zivena after, that depends on the minhag ha'mokom. So the Achrayim say it was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, but it was instituted as an optional bracha. If you want it, you can say so. It depends on the minhag ha'mokom. So Rav Soloveitchik said he, as a young child, he stayed most of the time by his mother's father, by his maternal grandfather. He only visited Rav Chaim a few times, on rare occasions. The last 2 years of Rav Chaim's life, they were together every day. But in the early years, he rarely saw Rav Chaim. He says, on one occasion, he happened to be there in Brisk, when Rav Chaim held that drasha on the bracha, that you have the same nusach on Chanukah, Raftas Rivam, Dantas Dinam, and the Kamtas Nikmasam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts on behalf of Klal Yisrael as like a baldin. If there's a court case between the Jewish people and Umas Olam, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu argues at the case. Raftas Rivam, he argues that the case on behalf of the Klal Yisrael. The Agda Zinam, the Baruch Shalom, is the Dayan, and the Kamta is the Kmasim. He's the Shoter. He named Shoftim Shotrim. So the shofet is the dayan who paskens, and the shochem are the one who mete out the punishment. So why does the Rebbe Shlom have to act as a baldin to argue, to present the arguments on behalf of Bnei Yisrael? So I think Rav Soloveitchik said over three suggestions from Rav Chaim. I just remember two. I must have printed it somewhere, but I don't remember what the third one was. He said one suggestion was based on the Kuzari. Kuzari says that the Ummus Olam attacked the Jewish people with so much anti-Semitism, really they're angry at the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. They want to be free from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, but they can't attack him. He's invisible. He's in heaven above. So they attack the Jews because we represent the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So since the attack, all the pogroms, all the attacks, all the anti-Semitism is really because they hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's why he's the Baldin. So he tainus. He's the Baldin. And then he gave a second suggestion, Moshe Rav Chaim, that the Gemara has a din psach picha le'ilam, tainina le'isaimim v'lila kuchas. If the Baldin wasn't there in the beginning of the din Torah, he really doesn't know what happened. He doesn't know what to taina. So Bezna has to advance a taina on his behalf. So we really don't even know how much hezek the Ummus Olam have done to us. We don't know how many Jews the Nazis killed. We don't know how many Jews Stalin killed. We don't know how many Talmid Chachamim, how many yeshivas were destroyed, how many Sforim were burned, how many Sefer Torah were burned. The hezek was so enormous that the Baruch Shalom knows better than us. So he advances a taina on our behalf like taininan. And then I think he gave a third hezbar. I forgot already what. Got to look. I think I printed it. And then Rav Chaim quoted a medrash. There's a medrash, I think it's on Vayishlach. There's a medrash that poses a stira. There are two psukim in Tanakh. One pasuk says, Nitzav lariv Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shlom stands when there's a din Torah, when there's a court case. And the other pasuk says, Elokim Yoshev al Kisei, no, Elokim on the Kisei Hadin. Rebbeinu Shlom sits on the Kisei. Does he sit or does he stand? So the Medrash says it depends. If he's judging the Ummus Olam or he's judging the Jewish people, sometimes he sits, sometimes he stands. So what's the answer? So the Mefarshim on the bottom of the page interpret one way, Rav Chaim interpret the opposite. Mefarshim say there's a Gemara in the Dorim that if you're Mata Neder, Poschem B'Charata, you can be Mata Neder just because the person has Charata. That's an easy psak. So that you don't have to sit for that. But if it's not Poschem B'Charata, you need a Pesach. So Pesach, the Bezna has to sit in order to think it out, to make sure that the Pesach is a correct Pesach. But a Pesach Macharata, that's very easy, that you can do in a standing position. So the standing Mefarshim say, it depends if the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is judging the Jewish people, so he's not Ma'ayin Barichas. It's just 1, 2, 3. So he stands. He doesn't want to punish us too much. If he judges Ummus Olam, then he sits, and he wants to be medayik on every little avera. He's going to punish him on everything. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik interpreted a totally different pshat. He said the din is the baladinim have to stand and the dayanim have to sit. So when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is judging the Ummus Olam because of what they ba'avel the Jewish people, then he stands because he's Raftas Rivam. He's acting as the Baldin. So the Baldin has to stand. But when he judges the Jewish people, he's not acting as a Baldin, he's only acting as a Dayan. So the Dayan has to sit. So the Pasuk that says that Rebbeinu Shlom sits on the Kisei Mishpat, that's when he judges the Jewish people. He sits, because he's only a Dayan. When he judges the Ummus Olam for the avlos that they did against the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first stands and then he sits. He stands because he's functioning like a Baldin. Okay, we better run down to Mincha before we miss the davening. Okay. Maybe Sunday we'll do a little Bava Kamma. Well, think about it, huh?
Yeah, it's actually.